going to start my talk with the song. So, Mike, if you'll turn that on.
Blackbird singing in the dead of night. Take these broken wings and learn to fly all your life. You were only waiting for this moment to arise. Blackbird singing in the dead of night. Take these sunken eyes and learn to see all your life. You were only waiting for this moment to be free. Blackbird, fly. Blackbird, fly. Into the line of a dark black
Thank you to Paul McCartney and the Beatles for that song. Several months ago, that song just resonated with me, and actually, I think Rose is on here. I asked her if she knew how to play it, and she's like, oh, there's a lot of chords in that. It's difficult. And I was thinking of it something more for our music meditation healing service. But then when Mike asked me to speak a few weeks ago, I was like, this will preach. So, as Jan used to say, this will preach. And it became more relevant to me when I investigated and looked into the song. It was written in 1968, and the Beatles had just returned from a transcendental meditation. A transcendental meditation in India, where Paul recognized bird singing. But then when he came back, he saw all the racial tension in the U.S., especially in the southern states. And in England, a nickname for a woman was a birdie. And so his song was really crying out to black women and the black people to give them encouragement and hope. The Lord's Prayer that I played was Mahalia Jackson. And, you know, that was an old-timey song and an old video. Thank you, Mike, for helping work it out. But she has a remarkable story. And when I picked that song, and then I looked into her, and I was like, oh, this is perfect. Because she, along with being an international singer, was a civil rights activist. And Martin Luther King heard her and had her sing at the Montgomery, Alabama bus boycott. After they left that, they went to Roger Abernathy's house, and it was bombed. So despite the fear and despite the challenges, she sang on. And she sang at the March in Washington for Martin Luther King, and then sang at his funeral. And Mahalia Jackson said that she hoped her music could break down some of the hate and fear that divide the white and black people in this country. And Paul McCartney, after writing this song, said that he wanted to encourage people to keep trying, to keep your faith. There is hope. Now here we flash forward 52 years later, and there again is racial tension. There's the Black Lives Matter movement. But while we've come far in some regards, there's still discrepancies and injustices with law enforcement and the courts and housing and healthcare and access to education and jobs. So their words may resonate, and the words of Blackbird and what Paul McCartney felt, you know, still resonate today, I think. And that's why the song even sung to me even more. You know, Mahalia Jackson even had, she actually grew up in New Orleans, but then she moved to Chicago. And even though she was this international singer, she had difficulty with housing when she went to buy a house. She was discriminated against. And had white homeowners and real estate agents tell her, oh, the house wasn't for sale anymore. And when she finally moved into a home, white people moved out and actually shot, there were gunshots at her home. So we still have a way to go. We've come farther, but we still have a way to go. So that's a little bit about the history of the song and what was going on when it was written. But for me, the words also resonated. Take these broken wings and learn to fly. You were only waiting for this moment to arise. 21 years ago, yesterday, actually. Yesterday I celebrated 21 years of sobriety. But 21 years ago, I was very broken. I was in a very dark place. Along with my alcoholism, I was in an abusive relationship, and I was in a pit of despair, not knowing what to do. And I called out, I cried out, I sung out to a God that I didn't even know who that was. But I cried out, help me. I don't know what to do. Please help me. And I felt this warmth through the top of my head to my fingers and toes. It's hard to even explain, but a comforting presence. And I felt peace. I think I was totally open and receptive to receiving from this higher power. It helped, that coupled with AA, you know, having this relationship with the higher power, helped me continue to rise, helped me to help these broken wings learn how to fly. The program of Alcoholics Anonymous has steps, and I embraced some very strong yet compassionate women in the program that helped me fly or learn how to fly. And I started like reading, I knew there was something more, and I started reading all these things and trying to find that connection, and because I still, this God didn't resonate with the God that I grew up with. And then I stumbled into Unity, and you know, the first service that I went to and we did meditation, I felt that connection again. And then I started taking classes. I see Warren, I took my first classes were A Course in Miracles, and I gave Warren a lot of headaches, believe me, trying to figure out, you know, there is no evil, but you don't know my ex-husband. And then I started taking Unity classes, and it just was like insulin to me. When I was doing A Course in Miracles, I used to keep a little index card with the lesson for that week. And so not only during prayer and meditation in the morning and evening, but throughout the day, lifted. I would be lifted and have that higher consciousness throughout the day. And that's how I felt too with Unity classes. And that's how I felt with AA. And that part of the thing I think that intrigued me to Unity was that AA and Unity were so parallel. The lessons were so, the principles were so parallel. I recently taught a class on Sermon on the Mount, and Bill Wilson and Dr. Bob, who were the founders of AA, used to go and listen to Emmett Fox. So there's many of the same principles in the AA program as in Unity. And so I rose up from that dark place, and I still am. And I think right now in our country, between the pandemic and again racial tensions and just a lot of chaos going on, you know, we all can feel broken. We can feel this country is broken right now. There's a separateness instead of a connection. And I think at one time or another, we've all had a broken heart, or we've lost someone we loved. We've had health challenges, financial challenges, things that made us feel broken. But there's that glimmer of light in that darkness. And if we could give power to that light, we can be healed. Take these sunken eyes and learn to see. You know, in the revealing word, it says a blind eye is a darkened consciousness. When we are exalted and illuminated, the truth, through truth, the darkness disappears. And in the Bible, it talks about the single eye. Matthew 6:22, the eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is sound, or it also says if your eye is single, your whole body will be full of light. So that illumination of spirit in the light. You know, when I was in eighth grade, my parents were going through a divorce, and all of a sudden I didn't pass the eye exam. There's probably a whole metaphysical thing on that, like I didn't want to see what was going on. But anyways, I couldn't see. And I went to the eye doctor, and my dad brought me to get the glasses. And when I got in his car, I said, "Oh, your windshield's clear." And he was like, "What are you talking about?" You know, but I didn't know that I could see signs down the road. I didn't know that I was missing out on it. I became so accustomed to how I saw, I didn't know there was more to see. And that's, again, what unity and what AA and what a relationship with a higher power has helped me do. It's helped me see beyond what I thought I could see. You know, I mentioned I was in an abusive relationship, and that, too, you become so conditioned to things being as they are. You know, when I started gaining some clarity, and when I'd be in a women's group and I'd talk about it, and their mouths would drop open, you know, with things that was said and done to me. And I'd be like, "Why?" You know, I just was so conditioned. I didn't see how toxic that was. And so, you know, I think that's, we could become conditioned, and that's what I fear for this country right now. That we're becoming too conditioned to the chaos. Too conditioned to the separation. Emily Cady in Lessons in Truth says, "Each one looking at the same world sees according to the size of the aperture through which he is looking, and he limits the world to just his own circumscribed view of it." You know, my aperture was very small when I was drinking and using, when I was in this abusive relationship. I can only see through this small aperture. As I opened up to the light of spirit, as I, you know, fought, sung out to that light in the deep, dark night, that aperture has grown, and my vision has grown. Emily Cady also says, and the way we open that aperture, first of all, I think I saw Marge here, is prayer and meditation, right? And making affirmations. You know, I think our being able to understand people who have stood in shoes, have walked a path that we have not, open our aperture more. And so, you know, as far as what's going on in the world, I've been you know, reading more and watching more documentaries to understand the plight of blacks in America. As far as spiritually, I, you know, opened up to the Bhagavad Gita and other ways to see and to stretch and to expand my consciousness. And both in Silent Unity and Unity, our prayer chaplains, and Satchari in the Gita group that we has people all over the world holding the high watch, holding the light for this world. And that's if you pray with our prayer chaplains, they'll see beyond what you can see. They'll see the light and the love and the healing and the strength within you. So Emily K, and it's very important for us to affirm words of our truth. What we say after I am is very important. So Emily Katie says, while you're using the words of truth, they will suddenly be illuminated and become to you the living word within you, the true light which enlightens everyone. You will no longer dwell in darkness, for the light will be within your own heart, and the word will be made flesh to you. That is, you will be conscious of a new and diviner life in your body, a new and diviner love for all people, a new and diviner power to accomplish. This is spiritual understanding. This is the flash of the Most High within your consciousness. You know, as I was growing spiritually, you know, I remember early on just like discovering all that, and I was like, wow, there's other people out there that are doing this too, you know. There's other seekers, and I just was amazed with that. And you know, again, I just kept it, you know, stretching myself, going to that women's retreat that I don't know these ladies, but you know, I'll give it a try. And the more I did, the greater spiritual awareness I had. Another thing, Mae Rollins was the director of Silent Unity for 51 years. She started when she was only like 25 or 6. She had taken over the reins from our founder, Myrtle Fillmore. And I love these like old-timey, you guys can't see, but these old-timey pamphlets that they have. I think, I was trying to look up when this was written, and I think it was around 1960-ish. But she wrote, Mae Rollins wrote, The Seekers of Light Are One. And she says, have you realized there are people in every nation of the earth who love all humanity? People who are seeking to bring peace, understanding, and brotherhood into the world in which we live. These people are instruments of God wherever they are. Sometimes we think of world affairs, the outlook seems dark. We see only the working evil forces and preparation of instruments of destruction. But God, who created this world and called it good, is still in charge. Let us align ourselves with the tremendous power of God. Cooperate with God in bringing peace, love, and understanding into the world in which we live. It is up to us who live on this planet to learn the first secret of life. We are children of God, and cooperation in expressing Him is essential. She makes declarations in this pamphlet that says, the light of man's spiritual nature can turn darkness into light. It can change a barren life into a productive life. Through prayer, this is constantly happening in the lives of individuals. Light is within us and all about us. We are truly children of light. If you thought of yourself that way, you are a child of light. You know, in our unity principles, we say that God is good, absolute, everywhere present. And that we have the spark of that divine Christ within us. And that we are the very essence of God. And we are inherently good. And we say that we create our experiences by the activity of our thinking. So when we make these affirmations, when we bring that into our consciousness through prayer, through meditation, through affirmations, it heightens our connection with the God mind and brings forth wisdom, healing, strength, prosperity, everything good. But we also say in our principles that knowing and understanding the laws of life called truth are not enough. We must live the truth that we know. May Rollins also says that when the light of understanding dawns upon us, it warms us and love is quickened within us. So I feel when I was finally so open and receptive, I felt that warmth, that light. We commence to respond to the spiritual urge within us to express more and more of the goodness of God. We become expressions of love and peace to the world. In the light of understanding, there is but one world, one people, all children of God, children of light. Get in touch with the great spiritual reservoir of love and harmony within yourself. And let our harmonious radiance brighten in our home, then radiate to our government, and then to our whole world and all people. So this is your mission, should you choose to accept it. You are the expression of life and love and light. We need to find that within ourselves and radiate that out into our world.